If we would go around the room and ask everyone, how are you in your experience tonight? Would you be embarrassed? Or would you be able to say, well, yes, I'm right where I believe I ought to be. Right where the Lord wants me to be. But the Lord takes that inventory right along, doesn't He? And if I'd asked this question, how long has it been since all unrelated from the functions of the congregation, just on your own, between you and the Lord, you spent a day fasting and praying? Could you remember when the last time was? Or would you be embarrassed with that question? I want to talk about that some tonight, by the Lord's help. That's a Bible doctrine too, you know, and if we're not careful, we could neglect it. And I know that there's been some preaching here about that since I've been here, because I preached on it, by the Lord's help. But I feel like it's a subject that, well, the Lord brought it to mind again, so we'll talk about it again. 58th of Isaiah. The inspired writer said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Folks, we need that scripture today. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. When the Miller family was told that Darius was having a serious heart attack, that he could be in eternity at any time, how do you think they took that news? Or what comes up before your face at a time like that? An incident like Sister Howell was talking about on the interstate, when confronted with the possibility of sudden death. I remember when our girls were in the collision in Oklahoma City, and the folks called me out there, and we got there before the ambulances did, and they were lying out on the road. And I remember Sister Busby, her ribs were broken and she couldn't breathe, and she was losing consciousness, going in and out. And she'd say, pray, pray for me. And then she'd start to go under again. And we'd have prayer for her and she'd get a little relief and kind of rise up out of the murk. And then she'd start to go down again and she'd say, pray for me. Well, I'm not a doctor, but I thought maybe she could have died at that time. And I don't know how it is with you. I think I know how it was with the Millers. But when I'm confronted with something like that, it's a time of real honesty with the Lord. You can't get by anything that you've been sliding with. It's all right there. It all comes up before you. I mind years ago, someone brought something into the congregation. It was a little thing where we were. And I was discussing that with the pastor, and he shook his head and he said, that's not good, Brother Ed. That's going to bring trouble. I said, why, it's a harmless thing, and went on to give the justification for it. I won't tell you where it was or what it was. But the pastor said, when you get in a desperate situation, all those little things matter. They all come up before the Lord. Well, this scripture said, cry aloud, spare not. Don't cut any corners. Don't pretend that anything is different from the way that it really is. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Let's be heard on this issue. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. I want folks to know just where they are before me, because that's the way they're going to meet me someday. And if they're slack and not where I want them to be, when they come in their times of desperate need before me, I don't think those things only come up on my side. They come up on God's side too. He notices them. He pays attention to the way we live and the attitudes that we hold and the way we conduct our lives. Now notice what the Lord told Isaiah about these people. This was instruction to the Jews, and they were religious people. He said, "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." People that go to meeting, taking time to take interest in the Lord every day, yet they seek me daily. Could we wear those socks? If the Lord would come down here himself and give inventory on you, would he be able to say, "Well, that's one of mine that seeks me daily"? Even that requirement might get ahead of some of us, mightn't it? "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways." Well, I think folks who habitually come to meeting, who study the Bible, are interested in listening to tapes of messages and things like that, are giving demonstration that they delight to know the ways of the Lord. When you consider that to be delighting to know His ways, read Christian literature, things that expound the Scriptures and give understanding. These people were doing all this. "They seek me daily. They delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." Real devout. "And come often to ask the things of the Lord and to inquire into the Scriptures." And here is their complaint. "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge?" Well, would you be able to offer that kind of a prayer before the Lord? Or would you really have to say in truth, "Lord, wherefore have we not fasted, but you didn't hear our prayers anyway?" And it really wasn't much of a prayer. "But you didn't hear us, and how come we don't have a better blessing?" That'd be a very sad state to be in, wouldn't it? And if that's where we are, but I trust it's not, there's really only one thing to do, and that's just admit it. We're slack. We're not where the Lord wants us to be, if that's our testimony. "Wherefore have we fasted?" Would we have to say, "Wherefore have we not fasted, and thou seest not? Lord, I'd like my life to be better, and I'd like to see more power in the church, and someday I mean to have more victory before you than I have now. But how come you don't bless me like I wish you would bless me?" There is a way that will bring the Lord's blessings on any people, in any time in the history of the world. You know, some folks believe that God has predestined some folks to be saved and other folks not to be saved. And some folks believe that sin doesn't stand between us and God, and find ways to justify sin in the flesh. When I read passages of Scriptures like this, and I know that there are writings in the Bible that could be interpreted, or I should say, misinterpreted that way, that are difficult to understand. None of them have the right to cross what Isaiah wrote here way back all these years before the New Testament was written. And he spelled out plainly and clearly the standard and the way for God's people in all generations and ages. Settled the question forever, didn't he? To serve the Lord. Oh, I hope you challenge tonight. If you and I want to walk close to the Lord, there is a way that we can do it. It doesn't depend on mother and father. It doesn't depend on the preacher. It doesn't depend on anybody else it comes right down to me individually and you individually. If we want to walk close with the Lord, we can do it and receive His blessings. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Well, as if to say, I'll reply to you, Israel, here's the reason for it. You come to meeting all right. You say your prayers. You pay your tithes. You fast your fasts and keep your feast days and all of those kind of things. And it's true that you've done all that, and I've seen every bit of it. But I'm not answering you. I'm not blessing you. I'm having mercy on you, and I've extended your life to you. But there's so much more that you could be receiving benefit from if you wanted to. And the reason that you're not having that, I'll just spell it right out to you here in so many words. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. What do you consider a fast to be? I heard some folks discussing one time whether or not you drink water when you fast. And how long is a fast period? Does that mean that you skip lunch and don't eat till 1 o'clock? Is that a fast? Everybody's real quiet, so I'll say amen. This is a good message. You pray for us tonight. The Lord help us with it. Behold, in the day of your fast, there are guidelines in the Bible for fasting, and they are general guidelines. But a fast is a matter between me and God. And it's a matter between you and God. And you or I voluntarily set the parameters of what it is that we're giving to the Lord. And He didn't lay down here ironclad requirements. You follow these rules, and when you fast, You don't drink any water. You don't eat any food. You start your fast at 6 o'clock in the evening and don't break it till 6 o'clock the next evening. And if you do it exactly by those rules, I'll bless you. And if you slip up during the day and take a sip of water, the whole thing's broken. He didn't say that here in this passage of Isaiah, did it? He said, when you fast, the time that I wanted you to set aside to me, study my word. It wouldn't hurt any one of us, every once in a while, all on our own, to just take a day and tell the Lord, Lord, this is your day. Most of the rest of the time I do what I want to do. I work on my car, or I attend to my job and my business and mow my grass and so forth. Today I'm going to spend some time more than I usually spend studying your word, taking interest in holy things, caring about my soul. I'm interested in you, Lord. I want you to help me. And I have need before you. This is a fast that will please the Lord. But He said, you fast and you exact all your pleasures on that day. Exact all your labors, I mean, and ye find pleasure. I know that there are days when fast day comes around, working men have to go out on the job. But what the Lord is calling for here, I believe, is a time when folks freely and voluntarily give something to the Lord and take a special effort to seek Him and call on Him at that time, giving Him the opportunity to work with my heart. It isn't that fasting that God is pleased to see me hurt. That isn't what makes a fast effective. The thing that makes a fast effective is giving the Lord the opportunity to work with my heart. And when He has that opportunity, He promises to be faithful to take it and to bring me a blessing out of it. Notice what He says in the fifth verse. Is it such a fast as I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? We'll see who can fast the longest. We'll see who can get the weakest and who can pray the longest. Is that what brings a blessing? No, the Lord always looks beyond all of those things. He's got His eyes on our hearts, hasn't He? Is this the fast that I've chosen? Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, money, advancement, opportunity, strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Lord, make my enemies treat me the way I want them to. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Well, we wouldn't want to do that, would we? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Isn't this the thing that will move the Lord on His throne? To look down on the things that He's given us in our life, our health and our strength, our homes and the little bit of this world's goods that we have got, and to say, Lord, I appreciate this. It means so much to me. I couldn't have gotten it by myself, but you've been merciful to me, and I thank you for it, and I want to help somebody else out with it that I see is in trouble. The Lord Jesus, when He was here, had the same idea concerning our feasts and occasions. He said, when you make a feast, don't invite those that can pay you back, but invite those that don't have the means to pay you back. He said, he that gives to the poor lendeth to the Lord. Isaiah had that understanding too. Is it such a fast as I have chosen? A day for a man's afflicted soul? No, this is it. Is not this a fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. I hope that every one of us here has a burning, flaming desire to walk near to the Lord. We need that. Now I say this congregation at times has proven to me that we've got a real measure of that in our midst. And I thank the Lord for it. And it's a blessing to be among people who have that kind of an attitude. But this scripture said, when we have that kind of a spirit and an attitude, and we bring our fast to the Lord, let's make it a time when we open our heart to Him. Lord, here I am. You know me. You know my failures. You know my weaknesses. You know my inabilities. You ever have a failure? I've had lots of them. I know the value of that song that says, when my best efforts fail, though my friends may reprove, when I sigh for their solace and prayers. One of the best things to do when we have a failure is to spend a day fasting and praying. The old devil will come along then and jump on you and tell you, you haven't got what you thought you had. If you had had it, you wouldn't have had this failure. You wouldn't have gone through this trouble. If you've got the strength, or I have, to just get right up in his face and tell him, maybe you're right, and maybe I haven't got what I ought to, but I know the one that has, and I'm going to set myself today to get in touch with him. I know what I'll do. I'll set aside some time to fast and pray and weep before the Lord, and I'll just open my heart to him. Lord, here I am. You look down in me, and you see every wicked way that's in me, and help me to loose the bands of it by your grace, and I'll turn aside from it and not walk that way anymore. Folks, that kind of fast, don't you believe that'll bring a blessing? The Lord will honor that kind of a fast. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Well, that can apply to my heavy burdens, and it can apply to my brother's heavy burdens. And I think the Lord wants us to be like Paul was in fastings often, prepared to get down under the burden of our brethren and pray for them till you pray through. And the Lord's been touched on His throne and things are changed. And those things that we can deal with ourselves. Remember what James said about those that come to us and we say, be warmed and filled and got no clothes to put on his back and no food, but we just pat him and say, well, the Lord go with you, brother. Be warm and filled. The Lord would have us to have a cheerful willingness to match our feet to our prayers and do what we can for those that are in trouble or perhaps less fortunate than we are. To let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. My own flesh are my people, my earthly brother and sisters, my father, and my aunts and my uncles. They're my flesh and blood. They are, I am, and you are the express creation of Almighty God, but I'm also, they are part of the reason why I'm in this world today. Because they are my flesh and blood. And I owe them a debt as long as I'm in this world. Oh, I've heard folks maintain that saints ought not to attend family reunions and so forth if they fall on Sundays and ought not to miss meeting in favor of them. I don't hold with that very well. I don't believe the Bible will back that up very well. The Scripture said concerning the fast that the Lord will accept that part of the ingredients of it are that we hide not ourselves from our own flesh and blood. Our family have got souls just like the saints have. And if when they plan their special occasions and times for the family to get together and renew the blood bonds according to the pattern that the Lord created, and I refuse to come and won't have any occasion or opportunity to be with them, I'm apt to grieve them and be an offense to them and turn their hearts away from the religion that I profess to be the way of truth because of that. I owe my family my love and my appreciation and my gratitude and my presence too when the opportunity arises to be there and to let them know. Perhaps you're not going the way that I'm going when I have the reunion. Maybe there's going to be beer there and maybe there's going to be other amusements of the world that I don't appreciate. Cigarette smoking and filthy language and so forth. I'm sorry it's that way and I don't accept that and I don't go along with it. But you're my people and I love you and I want you to know that I love you. And if you've got the nerve to do that around me, I've got the nerve to come around you in my plain clothes and my plain speech and pray over my food and asking the Lord to bless it. And who knows, maybe I'll not be overcome of evil, but I'll be able to overcome evil with good. We need to love our own earthly family, don't we? But this Scripture is surely talking about more than just paying a visit on the time of a reunion or something like that. You know, things get in the way of people's fasts and get in the way of people's prayers. God wants a life that's clean all the way up and down. He's laid down a pattern for people to live by. In the way we treat, in the way men folks treat the sisters, in the way parents treat little children and grown-ups treat little children, in the way people conduct themselves on their job. I mind one man I knew who went to work for a fella and made several long-distance telephone calls on that man's phone without having permission to do so, and then he quit that job and moved on off. And far as I know, he never did come back and pay those bills. But I saw him. I remember one time he came to me and my wife, broken up and weeping. I need help in my soul. I want you to pray with me. Some things that I'm wanting the Lord to work out for me. And so we got down and we had prayer with him. We were at a camp meeting. He was right on the verge of leaving the camp meeting to go several hundred miles to the south and do something very unwise, as we thought. So we prayed with him and we counseled with him. And he prayed and he wept and we said, "Brother or son, don't do that. That's a mistake. Don't do that." So we had a prayer service and he got done and he said, "I believe the Lord's heard me and I hear what you're saying and I'm not going to do it." And so we left him that night hoping he wasn't going to do it. And that night he went to bed not intending to do it. And early the next morning he got up and he didn't do it. No, he drove about that same many hundred miles north, the opposite direction, and did the very same thing that we'd been advising him against doing. Today, he's far away from the Lord. And one of his complaints was, "When I prayed my prayers, I couldn't get my prayers through, and the Lord wouldn't answer me." Well, I'll tell you, those telephone bills have come up between him and God. If you want to get your prayers through, you need a clean life all the way up and down. And part of the commandment that the Lord laid down, having put it in His Word, He does not obligate Himself to come back to us every time we fast and rehearse it in our ears over and over. "Now, I'm not hearing you fast very good today because you're disobeying my commandment." The Lord Jesus told us concerning fasting, "When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites are. They go out and pray with their hands spread wide on the street corners and advertise to people, 'I've been fasting 3 days now,' or 'I've been fasting 4 days." The Lord said, "Don't you do that. Sound the trumpet in front of you." He said, "They have their reward." whatever praise or honor they can get from the people. Look how holy he is. That's about all the reward there is in that. The Lord won't honor it. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I fasted 3 days about that? Or I remember one person that folks used to marvel at. They'd say, why, this person will spend 4 or 5 days fasting. How do you know how many days they spent fasting? If that's all getting told out, is the Lord accepting that? He said he wouldn't, didn't he? This scripture said, if you hide yourself from your own flesh, he won't hear you. When you fast, it'll stand in between. Hide yourself from them. That's a deep scripture, isn't it? What about if we get a brother that's in financial trouble? Does that scripture apply there too? Hide not thyself. My brother hasn't got enough to take care of his natural fleshly needs. And I'm fasting and praying, and I'm a religious man. Do you think that might get in between me and the Lord? I don't hear amen there, so I'll say amen. That'll get in between us and the Lord. That's wrong. He told us not to hide ourselves from our own flesh. I'm thinking about survivorship. I'd never realized until the last few years how complicated survivorship can be. When someone has gotten a little bit of this world's goods and our time has come, the Lord's called us on to be with Him, we stepped off the scene and behind us leave a mess. Go anywhere. And before that is all settled, sometimes it never does get settled, but before things are brought as far as they're ever going to be brought, wedges and troubles come into the family that cause divisions and hurt souls and damage people in their spirit that cost far more than the value of the actual dollars that were involved. Saints, the Lord wants us to do better than that. He wants us to take a responsible view of the means that we have in our hands and realize if the world continues in the way that it always has and the Lord doesn't come back someday, it's going to be you and it's going to be me that steps off the scene of action. And when we go, we're liable to leave trouble behind us if we don't make some provision before we go about those we're leaving behind. Hide ourselves from our own flesh. When we were here, we would have done everything to make fair and equitable division among them, but now we're gone and nobody knows what we were planning to do, and our children get in trouble about that. One of the points of my message tonight is I feel like the Lord wants us to make fair and equitable decisions about that during our lifetime, to make provision, to realize that that time is coming to us. There's a blessing in that. The Bible, from the book of Exodus all the way on through, has always taught the rights of survivorship. They have a place in the Word of God, just like everything else. And along with the duties of being diligent in business, surely lies that responsibility. Now I want to carry that matter a step farther tonight. Listen, folks, in this old world that we're living in today, I hate to tell you that your troubles are liable to come from your own family, but sometimes some of the very most grievous and hurtful things that there are come right from our own flesh and blood. Those that, when that time comes, mother, daddy's gone now, and it's time for things to be divided up. I don't know how many cases in the last few years folks have come to us about or have heard about one way or another where two or three or one members of the family got nearly everything and all the rest of the children got shut out. Somebody humble enough to submit to it. Somebody willing to let it be that way. Somebody else willing to take advantage. But I want to tell you, in the fear of the Lord, that'll get between you and your fast. The Lord won't forget that. He's absolutely just and honest in what He does. Fair and even-handed. And He requires you and me to be that way too. When it comes time for us to divide up whatever our parents may have left us, we better do it fairly and with an even hand, the best we're able to, for whatever we have inherited, because the Scripture said that this is the fast that the Lord will accept, that we hide not ourselves from our own flesh and blood, our own literal physical flesh and blood is what this is talking about. Hide ourselves, hide our access, hide our means. One person that I knew of sold his brother, his blood brother, a piece of land. But when it came time that there was oil discovered in that country, and oil was drilled for on the land that the one brother had bought, and he struck oil, and the man he bought the land from came around and he said, "I didn't sell you the mineral rights." Brother one thought he did. Oh, they had a little quarrel about it, and brother number two said, "I'll take you to court over it. I'll prove to you I didn't sell you the mineral rights." Brother number one submitted to it. 2 or 3 times a week, he'd see a big old tank truck come right by there in front of his house, right out to that oil well, and watching that oil being pumped into it that he thought he had bought when he paid the purchase price on the land, being hauled off and the money added to his own fleshly brother's account. Folks, that's offense. If ever was such a thing, that's an occasion to the enemy to slip in and work some bitterness that can bring real trouble in people's lives. The Lord's not in that. And if people who get caught in those kinds of temptations ever get clear with the Lord, there's going to have to be some acknowledging and some fixing of those kinds of things. Else, God won't hear the fast and the prayer and the weeping. Hide not thyself from thine own flesh. But the point of my message is tonight that if we want the Lord to meet and honor us, His searching of our hearts is just like it's going to be at the judgment. It goes all the way back, all down through our past life and everything that's crooked. He wants to make it straight, and He calls for it and requires it to be made straight. That's the standard of the Lord's way. It's a good way. It's a holy way. If people will live according to the doctrine that I'm trying to preach tonight by the help of the Lord, it'll clean you up, folks, and it'll set you free, and you'll not have to be troubled with that anymore. It's a close way, and it's a demanding way, but it's a good way, and it's a holy way, and the Lord's favor and blessing will rest on it. I have this doctrine on this point, too. Sometime, somebody getting old and about to step off the scene. Got several children, maybe struggling to make a living. And somebody in my line of work begin to cultivate that person, work in close to them. And the next thing you know, somebody's gone off the scene and you find out the will was made in favor of a minister or something somewhere. I want to give you some counsel, as I trust, from the Word of the Lord about leaving your inheritance to the church. The church needs money, all right. If you feel obliged and called to give money to the church, give it at your sacrifice. It isn't right for you and me to sacrifice our children's wages after we're gone to take it out of their hands, possibly to alienate them forever against the church. That preacher stepped in and took my mother's money and my father's money that ought to have been mine that I was counting on in my business, and he got in there and took it away from me. Folks, it's not a sacrifice for me to give it after I'm laid in the ground. I haven't given the Lord my money. I've given him my children's inheritance. I don't have any right to do that. Hide not thyself, the Scripture said, from thine own flesh, my own flesh and blood. The Bible teaches all the way from cover to cover. When I step off this scene of action, what I've had here doesn't belong to the preachers. It doesn't belong to the church. It belongs to my next of kin. That's their inheritance in Israel. It was always that way. That's what the Lord based His parable on in the New Testament doctrine about the prodigal son. Came to his father, and remember what his request was? "Father, give me that portion of goods that falleth to me. This is mine. It doesn't belong to the church. It doesn't belong to the preacher. It doesn't belong to my brother. It's mine to take and spend." And his father agreed with him, and he gave it over to him. And he took it and spent it the way he wanted to. It's foolish to do it the way that he did. But my point is that didn't belong to his daddy to give to the church. after he was gone. Hide not thyself from thine own flesh. The money is not worth to me losing the blessing of the Lord. It's not worth it. I want to qualify that. Should there be someone who has no next of kin and they want to leave their means to advance the work of the Lord, I consider that's their privilege. But it's wrong to hide it from your own flesh. When they're in their need, and when they have perhaps shared with us in the work that went in building what we have, and then we deed it over to somebody else when they're gone. I don't believe in folks getting so angry with one of their children. Maybe they've been reprobate. Maybe they haven't lived like they should have lived. But get so angry or displeased with them. When I make out my will to my child, I will them a dollar and the rest of them split up what's left. That's not the Lord's way either, folks. Hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Shame on the devil and the old covetous spirit that would try to make people deal with this part of the word of the Lord partially and unfairly, and not according to the commandment of his teaching here. Notice the rest of this passage now. It's glorious and wonderful. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. When I'm in trouble, when I'm fasting because I'm sick in my body, when I'm fasting because my children are needing help, and if I'll come to the Lord and I'll break the bands of wickedness, Lord, here I am. To all I know, I've been living pretty good, but maybe you don't see me near like I see myself today. I hold no bars on you. I just come and open myself up, and I invite you to look down in there. Put me through whatever trial or test you want to. Allow what trouble you want to come my way. Search my heart, but Lord, today I'm looking for the grace to break the bands of wickedness, whatever there may be that's in there. I intend to use this fast to get closer to you. That's why I'm fasting. And open ourselves. Lord, here I am. And while I'm opening myself, I give you my goods. I'll have compassion to the man that's in trouble. Bread to him that's hungry. Lord, I'll not hide myself from my own flesh. It's so clear and plain to me how the Lord wants to deal among his people. He'll have a righteous people, saints. People who live like this, we don't need to be predestined. We don't need to be the particular as if God sat up in heaven, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I've only saved 27 today. I think I'll designate these next 5 that are born. They're to be saved, and the 27 after them, they're not to be saved. That's foolishness. That's not the way God deals. And He has no need to deal that way. And if I'll obey His word, I have no need for Him to deal that way. This will bring the blessing down. If I'll come and abase myself and get low and humble myself at His feet, He'll be willing to search my heart. Put His finger right on what the trouble is. Oh, I'm glad He's willing to do that. But I know lots of people that are willing to do that too. And sometimes when people do it, I can't take it very good. But the glory and the blessing is, if I want God bad enough to just come and fast and pray and weep before Him and open myself to Him, not only will He show me what the trouble is, He'll give me the power to do something about it and break the bands of wickedness, and I don't have it anymore to be troubled with. Oh, glory. I love it. It's a good life to live. And I recommend it to you. Look what he said. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Lord, I'm fasting and praying because I got affliction that can't get well, and here it lingers on. Well, here is the promise. I can come and bring him before the Lord. When I fast and pray and weep before him this way, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. When I'm troubled, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to live. I do believe, saints, with all my heart, there have been people who fasted and prayed seeking the Lord to know where to move, to know what job to follow, what vocation in life. I've had people come and tell me, how do you get the Lord to talk to you? I can't get any answer. I don't know when the Lord speaks to me. If you have that kind of trouble, examine this list and see if you've been hiding yourself from your own flesh. Examine and see if you sought Him to help you to break the bands of wickedness, to roll away the heavy burden, and to let the yokeman go free from his yoke. And ask Him to examine your heart, and coming that way will move the Lord on His throne, not only to do those things, but to guide us and lead us. Our light will break forth as a noonday. We can know what place we're to fill in the Lord's body. We can know our vocation and calling in life, and the perplexing, questioning things that we have to meet with, we can actually pray down an answer from the Lord that's real for ourselves, and we can stand on it, and it'll work. You ever had the Lord show you to do something? Brother Darius Gibson said he was driving through the mountains, came to a sharp, blind curve, and the Lord told him, move over in the left lane. And he had pulled over in the left lane, and just as he did, a semi came rushing by him on the right side, the wrong side of the road. You ever had the Lord speak to you? I'll tell you one thing, you're going to be in a place in your life where you need Him to speak to you real bad. We all need His protecting hand over us. This is the way to get it. The preacher can't give it to us. The church can't give it to us. But if we want to walk with the Lord this way, there's no powers in this world or in hell that can keep us from having it. By this means, He said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. When you get in trouble, who do you call for to pray for you? I don't mean you to answer that to me literally. But I remember a congregation where I was in one time, and it's this way in all the saint congregations. But I remember that one because I lived there. Trouble had come around, and there were three or four people, especially we'd call the whole congregation, but three or four, we always wanted to be sure they knew about it, because when those folks got the word, we knew it wouldn't be long until the Lord would be hearing about it. They could get a prayer through. This is what it takes to get a prayer through. When folks will live this way, He said, then shalt thou cry, and I will answer. And thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, you know what the pointing of the finger is, putting forth the finger? You're to blame. You did it. You ever seen any of that? Work day and you weren't here. You're the one. You ran into my car. Putting forth a finger, blaming somebody else. I'll tell you a secret about walking with the Lord. It has to do with humility. If you want His blessings, gather to yourself all the blame you can get, that you can possibly be responsible for, and ask Him to help you with it. And be slow to blame other people. Putting forth a finger. Speaking vanity. Useless things. Carrying tales, rumors, gossip. They'll stand between us and the Lord. Speaking things that I know are not quite accurate. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. The Lord will be your light and understanding and blessing and victory, and make you know the way to go. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and a spring of water whose waters fail not. Just seemed like the Lord couldn't get done pronouncing a blessing on these kind of people. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Oh, thank God for these scriptures. When folks are willing to live this way, I tell you the Lord will make of their lives such a light and a pattern and example that it'll be a waymark and a guide to the tender little feet that are coming on behind them. That'll set forth clear truth and resounding doctrine, way places where the devil has made wedges and tore down the confidence and relationships between brethren. People who are willing to fast and pray and walk with the Lord like this, who'll stir themselves up to lay hold on God, who are valiant for the truth on the earth. People who live like this can repair those breaches, can bring unity again, can see things melted out of the way, can see hearts made soft and tender, and the Word of the Lord, pure and holy, held in our generation just like it was in all the generations before us. This is the way that leads to these blessings. If people live like that, they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places out where the old wells were, like Brother Wilson was speaking about a couple of Sundays ago, where the old timers drew their water out of the wells with a great joy that made them sing the songs and leap and shout and rejoice. When you and I are willing to fast and to pray and to want God badly enough until we're willing to take time. Nobody urged us to do it, but we want Him so bad and so eager to live close to Him, we'd do it on our own. Lord, this day's Your day. I'm going to fast and weep and pray before You. And I want You to search my heart and see everything that's in there. Lord, I'm not pointing any fingers today at anybody else. I'm looking at me. I want to know what You require of me. Here I am. Examine me. It'll open to the Lord the way and the avenue to do that. And He will search us. And He will not only search us, but He'll give us the power, thank God, to break the bonds of wickedness and to set us free with victory and triumph until we can be the builders of the old waste places, till we can dig again the old wells that our forefathers had that have got the same sweet water in them that have always been there, until we'll make Mount Zion to shine forth beautiful and glorious and holy. Every blessing that the Lord ever intended for His church is still there for His people if you and I want it bad enough to dig for it. This kind of a way. It'll work for you and me just like it's ever worked for any generation. All down through the ages. I'm made to believe, Lord, help me to live to my own preaching, that there's too many times when we allow the cares of this life, the carnal things, grudges and irritations and troubles and all of those kind of things to crowd in on us until it choked the precious grace of God and it's not welling up in us like He'd have it to well. I tell you, the Lord would have His people to be a sweet and a gentle and a mild people, soft and humble, easy to be entreated, loving and patient with one another, a light in this whole wicked world. And there's a way that we can get there, and it'll work for us too. And it'll be effective, and it'll be the repairer of the breach. It'll make again the holy way, the restorer of paths to dwell in, one that brings happiness and joy, one that blazes a trail for the tender ones coming on behind us. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Oh, folks, I want to tell you, we had a discussion about this in our Sunday school not long ago, but I have a conviction that the Lord wants us to be willing to dedicate time to Him, to His worship services. When we lay aside the world, it's not coming just to hear me. It's not coming just because of those old saints. When we come to a worship service, we're coming to honor the Lord, and the Lord takes note of that, and He wants us to have a time that we set aside for Him. When we withdraw our foot from doing our own pleasure and following our own way, Lord, this is Your day. I've given it to You now. I'm interested in learning more about You today, doing Thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. We might be sometimes family reunions on Sunday. We might be sometimes sick. or we might be traveling or in other congregations, but we ought not to be fishing. We ought not to be playing on the Lord's Day and neglect to go to worship because of it. That'll get between us and the Lord when we come down in need before Him. He'll remember that. Oh, but if we'll follow this way, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. And he sealed it with a solemnest testimony that the great eternal God of heaven could possibly give, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That settles it, doesn't it? My message is more than just the words of a preacher tonight. It's the word of the Lord. Folks, if I fail, if I don't live true to this, you can take it and live true to it, and it'll work for you anyway. You can get in where, Lord help us, I hope you never get into church troubles more than some of you have already had, but you don't know you won't before you get out of this world. I want to advise you in the fear of the Lord that if you get in a place where you don't know who to have confidence in anywhere anymore and afraid everybody you know might lead you the wrong direction, you and I have the privilege to cut right straight across every preacher and every church trouble that ever was and get in touch with Jesus for ourselves. And brother, He won't betray you. He's got the answer. He'll make your light to spring forth as a noonday and show you the right way to go. This is the way. Walk ye in it. It'll make sense. It'll work. It'll be effective. I know what the Lord told me one time. And I don't have all the message for the church, and I'm not able to deal with all problems that are. But the Lord told me, blessed are the peacemakers. And I've tried to follow that. And saints, the Lord's been merciful to me in doing it. And I know that it works. And He'll have something just like that to rescue you when you need it. Your light will break forth. But the whole key depends in the way that every one of us individually approach the Lord.